We're going to look at Luke's gospel. We're going to read the 23rd chapter, beginning verse 32, and then I'm going to go over to Galatians 2 and 20. And we're going to read one scripture there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we give you glory and praise because we are not worthy of this such great gift you have bestowed upon us called relationship with your Son. We're not worthy. There's nothing that we have done or would ever do that could earn your favor into our lives, but accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. We thank you for the scriptures because the scriptures give us information, and we know information brings revelation, and we know revelation brings activation, which brings fruitation, which brings glory. So, Father, I pray, God, that you release revelation in this house, a revelation of love one for another. For your scripture says that the world would know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. For he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So therefore we thank you, Father. Bless my mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke, the 23rd chapter, I'm going to start reading verse 32. And there were also two others, malefactors, led with him to put to death. I'm reading from the King James Version, the original. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them dreaded him, saying, he said, saved others, let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a subscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanging railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Isn't it interesting how pain will make you think crazy? You can be in a situation and be so self-driven that you miss what God is doing in your pain. Someone said, no pain. Oh, y'all said that too soft. No pain. I believe that. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, in verse 40, does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Wow. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the mist. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he giveth up the ghost. Galatians, the second chapter, and the 20th verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So far the scriptures. I want to kind of use for a thought to kind of keep everything textual. And the thought is, it's me, but it's not me. Turn to someone and say, it's me, but it's not me. Are you wondering, what in the world is he talking about? It's me, but it's not me. In the early years of my experience with God, coming out of the kind of lifestyle I lived, I was what you would call a crazy Christian. In the sense that I went back into all my friends and told them, y'all all going to hell. They're like, what are you talking about? I said, every last one of you are on fire, and you don't even know it. Oh, Mo. Oh, come on, what are you talking about? And I didn't know the scriptures. I said, all I know, I was blind, but now I see. And they watch my life. In the early part, I had a dream. And dreams, I really don't speak on them that much because sometimes, as Jeremiah said, it could be that steak sandwich that you had at 12 o'clock when you should have been asleep. And you there watching Jay Leno or something, you know, eating and drinking a Pepsi. This is not the case. I had a dream. And in this dream, I was walking into my mother's house and father. And when you come into the house, you immediately enter into their dining area. And then to the left was a small wall that you walk around, and then you're in the living room. So in the dream, I was very familiar where I was. It wasn't like the other dreams that I had, like I'm swimming and I can't swim. And I'm doing backstrokes in the ocean, just diving and coming up. You know, it wasn't like that. I recognized the color of my parents' house in the dream. Now, as I came into the house, I looked around and I saw myself sitting on the couch. It blew my mind because I wasn't looking in a mirror. I was looking at a twin. It was me, but it wasn't me. It was my future looking at my past, and my past looking at my future. And I stood up, mind blown in the dream, looking at one another. And for the first time, I understood the power of the blood. The person that I was looking at that was in the living area was dirty and unclean, unkept. And I looked at myself, I was all clean and well kept. And I was looking from the outside in. And the old man was looking from the inside out. Did not Jesus says it's not what goes into a man that corrupts him? It's not you eating chicken, pizza, that makes you who you are. It's what comes out of you. And so God gave me a revelation of who I was. My past looking at my future, and my future looking at my past. It's an awesome experience, because when we go into the scriptures, you must realize that the scriptures bring information. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of what? God. Oh, I hear somebody's reading their Bible, which is great. But let's talk about that. When you hear information, or information comes into you, you and I have three compartments. We have a body that we dress that gives us world consciousness. The only way that I know you're sitting in that seat is because you have a body. The little boy has on a blue shirt, and he put on a shirt on a body. Inside that body is a soul, and inside that soul is a spirit. The soul is the real you. It's the mind. It's the appetites. It's the desires. When an individual receives information by hearing and acts on that information and decides to make Jesus Lord of their life, nothing happens to their soul. You're quiet in here. Nothing happens to their body. If I limped before I met Jesus, guess what? After I meet him, I will still limp unless he heals me. Nothing happens to your body. Nothing happens to your soul. The only thing that happens is that your spirit comes alive. Is that all right? We see it so clearly in Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians, and I'm going to talk. I might not do that much preaching. I might mix it up. Let's look at Ephesians, the second chapter. Very powerful book dealing with, after you give your life to the Lord, what do you do then? You don't come into the house of the Lord and then go home and continue in the lifestyle that you lived before you gave your life to him. That doesn't make any sense. Before I gave my life to the Lord and the Lord baptized me in the Holy Spirit, I loved ice cream. Is that all right? He up here smiling. He thinking about the ice cream. Bring it in, buddy. Bring it in. Come on, buddy. Bring it in. After I meet Jesus, I still like ice cream. Desire. Is it in my body? Is it in my soul? Or is it in my spirit? It came through my body because my body has five gates. Somebody say government. The government shall be what? Upon, talk to me, church. Where should it be? That government is not talking about Corbett, even though Corbett needs help. And President Obama needs help. Somebody said, amen. The government of your gates shall be upon his shoulders. Government. Government of what you see, what you taste, what you feel, what you hear. All these are gates to your soul. And it's constantly putting information in. Constantly. Constantly. Case in point. I had a computer. I have a computer. And I'm not computer illiterate, but I'm learning. And I thought, young people, I erased everything off the hard drive. I was so happy, Pastor Dean. I said, oh, I got a clean hard drive. Wiped out. Because I couldn't get other information on the computer because I didn't have enough gigs. Yeah, you didn't think I knew about gigabytes. Yeah, megabytes and kegabytes. You didn't know, where's that tech man? You didn't think I knew about that, did you, buddy? Yeah. So I thought I wiped everything clean. And I was so happy. Then I hit one button and everything came back. I'm like, what the? I'm like, what? All the pictures, everything I thought I had erased came back. Go ahead. It's okay to laugh. All right, because I can laugh now. God doesn't wipe our hard drive. When you come to Christ, you still remember that relationship. Why y'all quiet now? You still remember the evil and the lying that you used to do. Sometimes it's a song. You minding your business, going through Walmart. And then a song comes on. We don't have to take this. You're like, what the? Where that? And immediately, you are back in the old man. Then you're like, God, help my mind. But in the book of Ephesians, it says, you have he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sin. That basically means you and I had no communication with God because God communicates with you through your spirit. That's how he communicates. That's why the word of God is so unique. It's different than Shakespeare. It's different than Hume's theory. Because when the word is spoken and it goes out, it bypasses your mind that has been lodged and developed in old things. And until your mind be changed, you will continue to live, y'all know where I'm going, your past in your present. You look at your future and say, no, that's just too much commitment. Let me go back to the familiar place. Let me go back to the things that I used to do. I don't do drugs anymore. But I'll sure eat a whole chocolate cake. with a quart of milk from Turkey Hill, slam it right to the head. This girl said, woo, woo. Appetite, desires that have to be managed by the Holy Spirit. And coming to prayer helps us to manage what we do out there. He tells us that we walked in times past, right? How did we walk? According to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, what? That now what? Worketh in the children of disobedience. So the Spirit of God is no longer working or wasn't working in us, but a spirit of disobedience. And here's a mother. She's, now Johnny, little boy's 3 years old. Johnny?
Yes, mommy.
Stay away from those cookies.
Okay.
Mom goes and wash clothes, comes back.
Johnny.
Yes, mommy.
Did you eat those cookies?
No, mommy.
Crumbs, chocolate, all on his shirt.
3 years old. No, I didn't eat them. Well, how did the crumbs get on your mouth?
He did it. Not even learned behavior. Astrayed from the mother's womb, going forth speaking lies. They don't even have to be taught to lie. So we know that we walked in disobedience in times past. The revelation of Ephesians shows us, when we get down to verse 4, that but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even while we were dead in sin, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He didn't wait for me to get it together to save me. Even though it was me, it wasn't me. Because God is the only one I know that stands in the past, present, and future at the same time. Now for me, that's consolation. That encourages me. Because where I'm going in problem, God is already there and has already worked it out. But the problem becomes when my mind does not line up with the Spirit of God, because I've been living in the flesh. I've been doing fleshly things. I've been watching television. I love fishing. I love to fish. There's nothing spiritual about catching a largemouth bass. Somebody say, yeah, it is. You see that? In some circles, that would be hearsay. Let's stone him. I love to fish. But there's nothing spiritual about it. Unless I'm taking someone to minister to them and deposit in them. But fish doesn't possess a soul. I can't say, come on in the boat, buddy. Come on. Right before I fry you, I'm going to witness to you. It's nothing spiritual. It's nothing spiritual about playing video games. That's all in your flesh. And it's nothing wrong with that as long as it's governed correctly. Is that all right? It has to be government. Somebody say government. If my worst nightmare is God turning me over to myself. Yeah, you looking at me and some of y'all thinking about Shady Maple's smorgasbord. I'm like, this is worse than dope. I walked in there. I'm like, this is worse than crack cocaine. Could you imagine? They have 3 grills. I'm like, what? I walked in there. I'm like, you can die here. And there's no there's no restraint. And they don't have one dessert section. They have 2. So you don't have to walk as far. You know, because sometimes if you walk too far, you get discouraged and turn back. Not at Shady Maples. No, sir, buddy. You can die there. And some of us have hypertension, high blood pressure, and we eat and say, Jesus paid it all. No, no, no. Government, management, stewardship, accountability. My wife helps me there. I try to hide cookies. Especially those soft chocolate chip. The other day, I was looking for them. I couldn't find them. I'm like, where are the cookies? Where are the cookies? I said, oh, I know. I'll get some potato chips. But the potato chips didn't suffice. Then we were on a picnic ministering to some people. She pulls out the bag of cookies. I was like, what the? What's she doing up here with my cookies? I wouldn't say anything. She looked over at me, just waiting for me to say something. And then began to serve the little kids and looking at me. I was like, the government shall be upon his shoulders. Management. Information brings revelation. Revelation brings activation. The word must be activated. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, not just for us to come here so that we can do the work of the ministry. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man, what? Be in Christ, he's a what? All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Did my obsessive compulsive behavior with cookies become new? Uh-uh. There's some things in our body that has to be managed. It won't go away. We lose weight, we gain weight. We lose weight, we gain weight. We gain weight, we lose. Oh, that's a song, James. Right? But we have to bring it under control because the old me still wants to take control of the new me. I'm almost finished. Give me 5 more minutes. Am I helping someone? I hope so. When we look at the cross, I'm in a predicament because I have no power to rectify my situation. I had shared with you a portion of my life in regards of what I used to do. It's not what you do that makes an individual bad. It's where they stand. When God looks into the earth, all he sees are sinners. That's all he sees. Come here, young man. You 3. Yeah, I need you 3. Y'all sat there for a purpose. When God looks into the earth, all he sees at one stage in history are sinners. I went by Calvary the other day, and now we're in Luke. Just give me a minute. You're not going to have you long. And when I went by Calvary, I had heard about it. The place of the skull, Golgotha, and how the Romans had adapted a way to die from the Phoenicians that was so brutal that individuals would hang on the cross for days. But this particular day, I went by Calvary and I saw three men in the same situation. Looking at them, I couldn't tell who was who because they were all on a cross. Someone told me in the text that one of them is the Son of God. I said, what? How did the Son of God get in that predicament? I'm dealing with cognitive information, information that I see with my eyes that go into my mind and I make a judgment through discretion and I call that bad. Is everyone with me? Information that I see makes a judgment call and I said, this is a terrible situation. Being a first century Jew, they told me through my history that the Messiah or the Son of God, when he would come, would rescue us from Roman oppression. But if that's him, that's a bad situation. Looking at them on a cross in the same situation. One talks to Jesus and says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This one died from sin. This one died for sin. And this one died in sin. And they were all in the same situation. Let's give these young men a hand before I close. I want to close on the fact that seeing is not always believing. That God, in that situation, and in the situations in your life, needs a negative. If God is a positive, and everything he does is good, then he needs a negative. Because energy or power cannot come forth independent of just being a positive. I'm not an electrician and I know that. The man came and taught me how to put in a ceiling fan. He says, if you don't want to go down and turn off the circuit breaker, just don't allow the two wires to touch. I said, what? Don't allow them to touch. Because if they touch, you will feel it. The cross would appear to be a negative situation, looking at it. But God in it makes it a positive. So here we have a positive and a negative. When you believe in that, it generates energy, power. And we see that in 1 John 1 and 12. For as many, what? As received him, he gave them what? Power to become the sons of God. In the Greek, that's exousia, or the right. To become the sons of God. And it's a powerful, powerful situation that when Jesus shed his blood, he released greatness for us. Stand on your feet. I'm done. I want to, musicians, could you come and assist me? I want to invite those, if you have not made Jesus Lord of your life, you are living in your past. You can't go to Walmart or Target or Neiman Marcus or Bloomingdale's or Apple Chevrolet to buy your way out of this situation. You can't go there and say, I need grace. Y'all have any on sale? I need the favor of God. You can't go to Walmart down aisle 7 looking for peace. Jesus has come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I invite you. It's an invitation. I want you to look at your past when you go home and write down everything you own that's tangible, that you can touch it and you can feel it. And that pretty much sums up your life absent from Christ. What is tangible? I cannot go on my past and give you tangible things. It's just a waste place. But Christ has come and has given me eternal life. Is there one? I invite you to meet him. If you're struggling with the idea of coming, let us pray for you. Nothing moves without prayer. I don't care how much word we hear. I don't care how much we study. I don't care how many services we have. Nothing moves without prayer. Is that all right? God bless you. Put your hands together. Not for me, for Jesus.